Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for attending this talk. My name is Vincent Rubiolo, and today at FOSDEM 2022, we're going to talk about deploying embedded Linux distribution build factories using Ansible and Proxmox. So, before we start, a few words about me. I'm one of the architects here at IoT.bzh, dealing with things related to cloud as well as embedded Linux. Previously, I was doing Kubernetes on both AWS and Google Clouds, as well as doing backend and frontend, so both infrastructure as well as backend and frontend. And even before that, I was doing certified system, hypervisors, real-time operating system. I worked at Wind River on VxWorks, been in charge of shell, loaders, debugging tools. And recapping on how many years I've actually been using Linux, it dates back to 2002. And starting with Mandrake first, Debian, Gentoo, all up to Fedora, which I'm using right now. I've put two links if you ever want to join to reach me here, both email and LinkedIn. And with that being said, we can talk a little bit more about what IoTBZH is. As you see on the map on the left, we're located in Brittany, in France. Our lineage with operating system actually dates back 30 years, including our team members who worked initially at Wind River, then some part of a team worked on the Tizen project with Samsung, and more recently in the automotive-grade Linux project, for which we've been the first technical contributors, especially around the application framework and security model, in a relationship with the Linux Foundation and the Tier 1 car manufacturers, whose logo you can see here. And more recently, we've been focusing on our latest product, which is called Redpesk, a pre-integrated software factory that is used to generate a custom embedded Linux distribution with a long-term support. We're talking 10-plus years here for sectors like automotive, mil-aero, maritime, or energy. And this is what we're going to talk about in this presentation. Going over the agenda, I'll detail a bit more what Redpesk is on the infrastructure side, and we'll talk about the technical stack that this relies upon, especially over Proxmox, which is our hypervisor of choice. We'll see how we do build and deployments, why we chose Ansible, and we'll focus on the lessons learned of this approach. Hopefully this will be useful to you, as well as discussing what we're currently working on and the improvements we see with the current approach. And then, of course, we'll conclude with the usual Q&A session. All right, so that being said, infrastructure-wise, what is Redpesk? As I mentioned, it's a ready-to-use software factory. So by factory, I mean everything is integrated. That allows you to build an embedded Linux distribution for certain markets, and we do support that for quite some time. We're talking 10 plus years, which is usually an issue for the embedded market. And Redpesk contains both the operating system as well as the CI/CD factory system, and it's the second part which we're going to detail how we deploy and manage it using Ansible and Proxmox. The operating system is actually a rebuild using cross compilers. So we basically took CentOS Stream or RHEL, both of them, and we adapted them so we can cross compile them for the usual embedded architectures like x86 or x86-64 rather, and ARM Arch64. So it comes with an approach that is usually the IT one, package-based, except that it's for the embedded markets. And the second thing here is Redpesk Factory, that's the other side. It's a SaaS package, CI/CD system, based on Koji, which is used to generate the Fedora or Red Hat distributions, right? And that SaaS package includes a web UI as well as everything needed to do CI/CD on packages, including a virtual target lab. And we call that RTM, the Rackable Test Module. That stack we can deploy on-prem at the customer site, on-premises, or in our own data center. It gives you an overview of what Redpesk is, basically, here. Technically wise, the web UI actually uses Angular through the Nebula UI library. The backend is Go, using Go Buffalo. The persistence is using PostgreSQL. We embed a GitLab Forge also inside the stack, used to host the customer source code, as well as being able to act as an OpenID Connect authentication provider. The full suite of Koji stack and builders, so that's the core part that Red Hat uses to build that distribution, is also included, of course, and that encompasses cross-compilation, all the adaptations we made. We also developed the REST frontend, because by default Koji talks XML RPC and not REST, and for our stack we needed to do that. We leverage Koshi to do the dependency management, so that when a package is rebuilt or its source code changes, we're able to also rebuild its dependencies. That relies on having Koshi properly set up. And I mentioned the QEMU-based virtual lab, which is part of what I call RTM. So we're able to start on-demand QEMU virtual targets to run the test for the packages that were just modified. And finally, network-wise, we leverage an OpenSense instance in the stack to do a DHCP, DNS, firewalling, and provide network isolation within the stack itself. So that's it for the technical side of the factory, in terms so that you can see what this is really about. Now I'm going to show you more of a diagram to give you an idea of the test of the stack complexity here. There's a lot here. I won't dive into too many details. What is interesting, and I'll talk about that in the coming slides, is the colors. And the colors mean purple is for virtual machines, whereas yellow is for LXC containers, and orange is for QEMUs. So you can see we have a widespread type of entities living in the stack, a mix of virtual machines and containers in there. I talked about stack, I talked about virtual machines, I talked about containers, and that means virtualization, or be light for containers or heavier for virtual machines, which means hypervisor. And in our case, the hypervisor we chose is Proxmox. It allows us to drive a mix of virtual machines and containers natively, that's including Proxmox. Just as a side note, why do we have a mix of both instead of, say, just pure containers, right? The reason is certain components within Koji, the build system that we leverage, they do not suit themselves very well to containers, and that's especially because the builds are done through a utility called Mock, which you might be already familiar with, and Mock actually relies on a chroot namespace isolation system, which does not work very well with Linux containers. So we decided to keep that as keep those as virtual machines. And another reason is let's say GitLab. GitLab is actually not supported in containers. So if we had any issues with that, then we have to debug the thing ourselves. And so for that reason, we actually decided to stay and keep that virtual machines as well. that's it for the mix of VMs and containers. Development themselves, because you'll see in the presentation, we actually target both layers, hypervisor itself, as well as provisioning what we deployed. So we actually leverage the Proxmox REST API endpoints to control the hypervisor side of things. configure a virtual machine,